Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Gets in over the Washington line and dragged it right through and took a shot. He scores! Oh, my! What a play! Coming soon to a theater near you, Sick Mitts, starring Jack Eichel.
Howard Simon.
Whoa, team spider! Look out, sorry. Yuck. Okay, go ahead.
How big?
Very tiny, but I'm a wuss.
Jeremy White.
It probably doesn't hurt that bad to get stung by a bee. Then you get stung by a bee as an adult, and you're like, wow, yes, it still hurts.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
You know what would have been really nice on Father's Day, Howard? Would have been really nice. A hole in one.
Well, it's not like you're asking for something that's hard.
I yesterday played golf in the morning, and I almost had two. I didn't have one.
Almost
it's not like
had.
I had one and almost a second one.
Yeah.
Twice, I was a foot to 2 feet.
Yeah. Almost had.
Almost.
Yeah. I feel like that doesn't count as a hole in one.
It definitely does not.
Not here to judge. Right. Actually, I do want to ask you about golf when we get done with our Ducks discussion. I wanted to have you remind everybody about Thursday.
I've got golf answers. Yeah. Perfect Father's Day. I could have just used, like another foot on the green. Happy Father's Day, everybody.
Ah, yeah. Let us talk a little bit about Jack Eichel, because what we're doing here is, it looks like he's going to get traded. So where, for what, who knows? But we thought we'd, check out some teams around the league that might be in the mix for Mr. Eichel. And in no particular order, by the way. Not because Anaheim starts with an A. But we're going to start with Anaheim. And we're going to be joined on the Western Hotline by Western New Yorker who ended up in California and is the Ducks postgame show host. And that would be Josh Brewster. And Josh is with us right now. Josh, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good early morning to you, sir, in California.
Well, good morning to you guys. Good to be with you.
So let's go with the first obvious question. Would you see the Ducks in an Eichel sweepstakes?
100%. This club needs a lot. You've got a club there in Buffalo that needs something to happen, and the Anaheim Ducks offense has been in the cellar for three straight seasons, something's got to give here, and there certainly are a number of prospects here, and the Ducks have a high pick, third overall, and something's got to change. So this club needs change. The veteran forwards did not come through at all really last season, and there's a lot of interesting players in the cupboard. So, we'll see. But I would have to say that I would look at the Ducks as a front runner.
Are the Ducks, Jeremy and I were talking about the Ducks the other day, and you'd look at it from the outside and go, well, their window closed. And they moved some parts off. And if you're going to trade for Eichel, my guess is you're going to move a pick or picks, maybe the third pick overall, a top prospect, all these different futures, right? Are the Ducks looking at this, Josh, you saying, hey, we get Eichel because we're still competing right now? Like we're still good enough or have a roster with Eichel to win right away?
No, I don't think that the Ducks feel that they have a roster that can win right away. But, yeah, certainly if you bring in Jack Eichel and that level of production, I think things change very quickly, and it would be a franchise it's a franchise changer. Because, look, he plays center. He produces what he produces. And, there's some – I think there's always some questions about the, the puck battles with Eichel and – but then, is the two-way game that strong? But then again, if you can produce what we know he can produce, You know, I have other guys on my team who can do some of those other things, but I think it's a big, it would be a big franchise-changing move. Ryan Getzlaff has been at the end of his line for a couple seasons now, and I don't even know if he'll be back. But the duck, look, the elephant in the room really is, there's two of them, Trevor Zegras and Jamie Drysdale, and that's really the question is if the Ducks are going to part with either of those. I would suggest that they don't, and I have a feeling they don't want to. So are you, you know, are you serious about Eichel if you're not going to deal away those players? But we can talk about who else the Ducks have.
Well, I wanted to talk about those two guys actually in a moment, but from, yeah, from Anaheim's GM's perspective, A, is Murray on the hot seat, and B, would that make him, I guess, desperate? Would they be more willing or want to make the big splash move because the GM has got to turn this thing around fast?
I would say yes to everything you just said. Now, here's the thing. The Ducks organization is known for loyalty, and the Samuelis, Henry and Susan, who own the club, are intensely loyal to Bob. And I think that they don't – I don't think they want to bust a move with regard to Bob. And I think that if they wanted to, they would have done this months ago. As far as Bob goes, I've been honest on my own show. I think he and his coach Dallas Eakins. Now you do have to wonder now, is they're going to give him another coach? And I'm not so sure he gets another coach. So I would have to say the hour is nigh for sure.
We're with Josh Brewster, by the way, Ducks postgame show host, Western Hotline. Okay, so when we have this discussion, Josh, you brought up a couple names. From our perspective, we look at it and say, if Kevin Adams picks up the phone, he talks to another GM and says, here's who I want, and they say, no, that guy's untouchable, we say you should end the phone call at that point. So who? Let's go with this. Who is the best young player right now in the Ducks organization?
The best is, it's 1 and 1A. The best player is Jamie Drysdale because of what the way he can move on the blue line. I think he may be already as good as Cam Fowler, and I think Cam Fowler is the most underrated defenseman in the league who's struggling with a club that has struggled offensively for 3 years. Jamie Drysdale is the best of the best in terms of the Ducks, and then Trevor Zegras and what he can do from a forward position, and they're working him back into his natural center. They started him on the wing. That is a really exciting player. And I mean, if I'm a Buffalo Sabres fan and either of those come my way, I would have to say, with this is assuming the third pick overall is in this package. I operate with that assumption that pick, a big pick, is in there. Now, if those two are really untouchable, then it makes it tougher. It might make it a little easier to deal for Sam Reinhart, but I think it makes it tougher to deal for Eichel. The next name is our leading scorer on a deficient offense, but Maxime Comtois is a very, very promising player who was very productive and has learned to go to the tougher areas of the ice. And that is really big for a young player, that willingness. So then you start to think about, well, just to speculate, you start to think about Maxime Comtois, who I think they would love to have. But then you've got to throw Rickard Rakell on the pile, I think. But I do think it makes it tougher to get Eichel if you're not moving Zegras and Drysdale. And I got to tell you, I something tells me the GM does not want to do that, not even for Jack Eichel.
And that's why I think from our standpoint in this discussion, it's funny. Like, I don't, like another GM, to me, you just don't say anybody's untouchable. And not only would you not say one guy is untouchable, there's no way you'd say two guys are untouchable. Like if you're Adam, you're say, right. I want Zegras. No, you can't have him. I want Drysdale. No, you can't have him. All right, give me your third best prospect. I mean, it's just, you don't have a discussion at that point.
Well, look, Max Comtois is a heck of a player, but you're right. I mean, look, Adams has to face the Buffalo fan and say, okay, well, I just coughed up Jack Eichel. And yes, I would have to say if you don't see Trevor Zegras or Jamie Drysdale come back, I think that would make it very difficult for Adams to face the fan base.
Josh, what about the taking on a bad contract? Is that part of this discussion? Is there talk that they're trying to get someone to take John Gibson's contract?
Well, okay. Now there's a name. There's a guy you can use because this is. Look, it's not a bad. I don't think he has a bad contract at all. But the question with John Gibson is how much more does he want to take? He's been on a club that has struggled mightily, and you know, let's be honest, he'd be going to a club that struggled mightily, if he goes to Buffalo. But I think that he should. I mean, my goodness, I see the Sabres, I think they turned a corner for a reason later in the season. But John Gibson, you'd be getting one of the finer goaltenders in the league who, again, you know, it's the same pressure that the defenseman like a Cam Fowler would face when you cannot score at all. You know, the goaltender never gets any goal support. And, you know, he plays for $6 million a year, 6.4. I think that's a bit of that's a chip that – You know, look, if you were to put Ricard Raquel on there and you who is needed to get his offense going for a while, but is a useful player, and you put a goaltender on the level of John Gibson there, that's a goaltender you can have for years, and he's young enough. So I think that there's a package that you could make. But, you know, look, but Bob Murray's not dumb. He knows everything you're describing, and, you know, we'll see how much he likes Jack Eichel if he coughs up Drysdale or Zegras. If he coughs up Drysdale or Zegras, the Buffalo Sabres have made a heck of a deal, and you know, the Anaheim Ducks would be getting a heck of a player. A
couple more things. One of them might be a dumb question, but whatever. I get paid to ask dumb questions and good questions.
Me too.
Is there, you don't see, we both thought 6 years, $6 million is too much for Gibson, but let's throw that off to the side. Is there a quote bad contract that Anaheim would want the Sabres to take as part of the deal? Would it be, well, we weren't going to give you Zegras or Drysdale, but I tell you what, if you take so and so as part of the deal, all right,
yeah,
we'll do
sure.
it.
Sure. Adam Henrique and Jakob Silfverberg. But those are not star talents. They're mm-hmm. useful players when they're good. But they're not star talents. But those two right there, Adam Henrique and Jakob Silfverberg. But that's, I mean, you know, Jack Eichel is a heck of a productive player, and those would have to be additional chips. I would disagree about the money they're paying Gibson. I think that the price of a really good goaltender like him was going to go up and up and up over the years. I think in the end they would have a very good deal with John Gibson.
Here's my dumb question. One of the other teams supposedly that would be interested would be the Kings. Is it possible the Ducks would they feel pressure to not get beat by the Kings in an Eichel trade? And would that make it more feasible for them to move a Zegras or a Drysdale? Would that have any impact on this?
Yeah. I really don't. I don't think so at all. I think they're so stoked about what they have in Zegras and Drysdale that you know, that's just not – it's either going to happen because Bob Murray is like, boy, I got to have Jack Eichel. We'll find out. That's the one thing, you know, look, we don't know is how badly does he want Jack Eichel.
Right.
And if he knows what the rules are here. I mean, you're coughing up Jack Eichel, for goodness sake. He's got to know that that Drysdale or Zegras are part of the package. I think it's going to be fascinating. These things never work out the way I think they're going to work out. Who knows? Maybe it'll be I hear the Blackhawks. Maybe he'll say, just give me Patrick Kane for the rest of his remaining good 3 years or whatever it is. But these things never work out the way that I think they're going to work out. But boy, I'll tell you, if Bob Murray is super serious about this, then you would, if it was Zegras and Drysdale, you have a whale of a player you're just a whale of a player.
Last thing real quick before we let you go. Zegras, you said they're transitioning him. Obviously, the Sabres would open up a massive hole at center, and they might also be losing Reinhardt this offseason. Zegras is the center. Yeah.
He's a center, yeah. And so it does make me wonder whether, you know, Bob Murray would be very happy with a piece like Sam Reinhardt that's not going to cost him as much.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I don't think he's as dynamic a player as Jack Eichel, but I do certainly respect what Reinhardt has done to bring his game along. And we draft awfully young. You know, Sam Reinhardt took a lot of heat for a while, but we draft awfully young in this league, and he is still a good player. I think Bob Murray is serious about getting something done, and it's I'm just absolutely itching to see how far he's willing to go for Jack Eichel.
Josh Brewster, Ducks postgame show host, joining us very early on Pacific Coast time. Josh, thanks very much for coming on with us this morning. Appreciate it.
Oh, guys, it's always an honor. Call anytime and have a great summer.
You too. Thank you, Josh. West New Yorker from now again out in Anaheim doing the postgame show. He mentioned, and Jeremy, you mentioned earlier, Chicago. So this was in the New York Post yesterday. Larry Brooks, who does covers the Rangers and the NHL, the New York Post, had an article about the Blackhawks entering the sweepstakes. Slapshots, which is the name of his column, has learned the Blackhawks have taken a ticket at the deli counter in communicating their interest in the 24-year-old center. In order to succeed in its quest, Chicago's offer would have to feature Kirby Dach, the 20-year-old center who was drafted third overall in 2019. So that would be the meat of the story about the Blackhawks possibly entering the mix for the Eichel discussions. And we'll see this all. That's good. It adds another team to the list of teams we can talk about who won't want to give up their best players.
Yeah.
Fabulous discussion, by the way.
I hate everything.
It's making the best out of a lousy situation.
A very quick instant trivia. Very quick.
You know nothing is quick with me in instant trivia.
All right. Very quick.
Yeah.
Goaltenders with a higher cap hit than John Gibson.
Great. We need the instant trivia music, but I can't answer without the instant trivia
Goaltenders with a higher cap hit than John Gibson.
Ooh, all right.
Carey Price.
He's number one.
Vasilevsky?
He's number three.
What is Carey?
6'4".
6'4". Okay.
Ben Bishop?
Yeah, Ben Bishop is a good guess.
Ben Bishop?
Incorrect.
Nuts! Brayton said it was a good guess, though!
I thought
it was a good guess.
Let's see. 6.5. Marc-Andre Fleury?
Yes, correct. Okay. He's 7 million. He has 1 year left after
Tuukka Rask?
No.
Okay.
Oh, Bobrovsky!
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Sergei Bobrovsky.
Hang on. Maybe I've only... Let me redo
he's,
this.
He's screwing us, isn't he?
Tuukka Rask is correct. Okay. I know that. I know that's right.
Bobrovsky has to be over 6'4".
Bobrovsky is.
Oh, yeah, Bobrovsky is 10.
Oh, Rask, the reason Rask is not on this list is he's currently UFA without a contract.
Gotcha. All right.
He says, why would I leave Boston? He might come back. It's Price, Bobrovsky, Vasilevsky, Fleury, and that's it.
Wow.
The Sabres are going to trade Jack Eichel for the fifth highest paid goaltender?
No way, right? No way. I don't think so, no. Not when you have, and granted, Ullmark's a UFA, but even behind him, you've got Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, who maybe needs another year in Rochester and then could be here. Just talking to Marty Baron about that. So I just don't see them doing that. I don't see them making the term, too. It's not even like, well, he's got 2 years left at 6'4". It's, what'd you say, 6 years left? 5-6 years left at 6'4"? I just don't see them doing that.
I just don't know about John Gibson.
Hey, if you got Zegras, you got Zegras, Cousins, as your whatever order, if you're formulating centers, assuming Reinhardt's not going to be here, Zegras, Cousins, I don't know, Mittelstadt, I'm not sure where you go from there, but that's not a bad top two young centers if you go get those two guys. I'd be more into Zegras than Drysdale because I think you're going to just be dying for centers after this offseason, or during this offseason, I should say. Thanks for the trivia music. Always bright.
Fifth highest paid goaltender. And two below average years in a row. I mean, why would I think he's one of the best? He got paid after a couple of good seasons on a big, huge contract, a max contract.
Yeah.
In 2018. You know, he had...
I think, honestly, the term, I can't get the term out of my head more than anything else. You know,
that's the other thing.
You'd be bringing in the guy for 6 years when you think you have a top goalie prospect in your system who we hope is going to take that
job. Always trade him. I wouldn't let Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen out of a player that would be good.
If you go look for another goalie, Jeremy, I just don't think you want to take a six-year term on at this point.
Well, the term of it is one thing. The guys behind him, like Connor Hellebuyck, is going to get paid in a couple years. He'll get a huge contract. The closest to John Gibson is Matt Murray. Matt Murray won Stanley Cup, signed with Ottawa, 4 years, $25 million. Is that going well for Ottawa?
No.
His save percentage was .893 this year.
Yeah, I have not been thinking about a big goalie contract at all.
Take the Pegula mantra about the Sabres, effective, efficient,
economics is the course. Economical is the term. I just don't see it. I would be very surprised if they
made
that trade.
He does
have
a no move. So does Silverberg. So does Adam Henrique.
All right.
They'd all have to agree.
So see, that's but that's more. I didn't see how much term was left on Henrique and Silverberg. I'm going to guess not 6 years. Like, that would be more. I'll look it up in the break.
I've got it right here.
How much term?
Henrique is through three more years, and so is Silverberg. So
right.
3 years. They're both 30 plus.
Yeah, those are not 6 years. Would be my no. There isn't a scenario I would take on a 6 year goalie contract. There just isn't. Give me Zegras and Drysdale. Tell you what, there's my scenario. Give me Zegras and Drysdale if you want me to take on the goalie contract. I'm debating whether I want to make him throw in the third pick overall, too. Yeah, Zegras and Drysdale's a pretty good start. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Guess what? It's code word time. Thank you, Brayton. Let's get you a code word and give you another shot at winning $1,000 in marvelous cash. It is a blast. This time around, BLAST. So if you have not played with us before, all you need to do is text BLAST to 72881. That's it. You're in the running to win $1,000 in our National Win Cash Contest. It is that simple. Please remember that message and data rates may apply. Please also remember, more important than message and data rates, never text the code word while you're driving. You shouldn't text and drive. So BLAST, BLAST, you have until 10 o'clock to text the code word in. More words coming out. Throughout the course of the day on all the shows here on WGR, it is the National Win Cash Contest, your chance to win $1,000. It is powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better bettor. Download the BetQL app today.
I don't think that Adams is in a position yet where he's closing the door on any sort of dynamic. You know, it does have to include a younger player. You know, we talk about a prospect, we talk about a young NHL player, we're certainly talking about a top draft pick being part of the equation. And if it's not a top draft pick, if it isn't one of those teams that we've talked about that doesn't have the pick that the Buffalo Sabres would want, well, then guess what changes? What changes is the quality of the prospect that's coming back or the young NHL player.
It is Darren Drager from TSN and some of his comments when he was on with the Instigators on Friday on the Jack Eichel deal. If I didn't mention it, I thought I did, but I may have forgotten. Anaheim also has the number 3 overall pick in this year's draft, which I would assume would be on the table. It was Elliot Friedman, right, from Sportsnet, who's been talking about how the Sabres are anticipating having a second high draft pick in the draft this year and would be like really stoked about all that. So,
a couple things from the world of the NBA that I've been watching a lot of the second round, now run of the conference finals. Have you had a chance to see, among other things, Ben Simmons pass open an open dunk or pass up an open dunk?
No. Heard about it. Haven't seen it yet.
Wild. It's absolutely wild. It's 88-86, 3.5 minutes left. The Sixers are down 2.
Yeah.
And he makes a move and passes up a wide open, clean look because – well, I mean, he doesn't shoot.
Wow.
He's a poor shooter.
I know he's a bad free throw shooter, but he's a bad shooter anyway, right? Perimeter.
He's a bad shooter at every level, pretty much. And I saw a stat. Here you go. He does not want to shoot at all in the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter, 7 games of the series, there's a 7-game series, he attempted 3 shots in the fourth quarter. He won't shoot in the fourth quarter.
Did they just not guard him and basically force him to shoot the ball? He won't shoot it, doesn't
he? He won't.
Right.
Even when he's open, he won't.
Wow.
But the other thing that's kind of fun to watch, and you'll get this in the next round, is Giannis taking free throws.
Oh, my goodness. Go ahead. I watched the fans counting the other day.
The counting.
Yeah.
Now, so Giannis takes a long time. He's got this pre-shot routine, and then the ref gives him the ball, and then he dribbles, and they count. You're supposed to only take a maximum of 10 seconds.
Yep.
So the fans have started counting off the time. And, you know, the whole arena, 1, 2, 3. And
I think they got to 12. They may be cutting fast. They got to 12 the other day.
They got to 12 on every single attempt.
Oh, is that right? I only saw one clip of it.
Yeah. Which, funny thing about a pre-shot routine, if you count every time when he's up there and he's got this pre-shot routine, pretty soon the counting becomes routine. And the announcers actually kind of made a little bit of a quip. Like, I wonder if it's helping. Because here he is, you know, all right, I've got my 3 dribbles. I dribble on 2, 4, 6, you know, take it.
Goodness.
All right, take a breath at 8. knees bend at 10 and release at 12. Like, the counting could, in theory,
you think it's helping?
Help.
Hey, it's in a rhythm,
again,
right?
If all I need is a routine, and every single time I'm up there, the fans make it a routine, it could help.
I saw the one clip I saw, they were definitely counting. They got past 10, the fans did.
It's so funny.
And then he had an air ball. He airballed the free throw.
It's definitely going to happen in the next series, too.
Yeah.
Like, it'll probably be a thing for his career now.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Maybe not every game, but every game where the fans are invested, you're just going to count when he's up there at the free throw line.
Nuts. That's absolutely crazy. Why does it take so long to shoot a free throw?
Mental game.
Could you speed it up?
Nah, he's playing a mental game.
Man.
He's trying to
find
a way.
But in theory, if they really want, I assume if you hit 10, the officials, you'd lose the free throw attempt.
You're supposed to.
Yeah. Like, if they really wanted to crack down on it, it sounds like he is a regular violator of the 10-second rule, this version of the 10-second
mm-hmm.
rule. Did you watch any of Montreal Vegas last night? I'm sorry. I was like in sleepy world by like 8:30 probably. But I woke up this morning and I went on Twitter. There are a lot of tweets. Brayton, did you see any of the game? A lot of people are tweeting about how bad the officiating last night. I'm guessing they did a swallow the whistle third period, and possibly I'm going to think it hurt the Canadians. There were a bunch of tweets last night from people from hockey media that I follow, whether it's Canadians media or excuse me, national media. And the tweet was something to these officials are awful. If it's a penalty in the first period, why isn't it a penalty in the third period? Or maybe it was overtime. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing the Canadians felt they got screwed.
I've seen a lot of tweets this morning about how there were a lot of uncalled penalties, and that some of the penalties that were called were very questionable. I mean, I don't know. It's NHL officiating, man. Like, what do you expect from these guys? They don't know half of the things that are supposed to be called anyway. They don't know what boarding is, interference is. They haven't known what interference is, I think, ever. So
they know what it is. They just have been told not to call it.
Listen, Jared.
They've been told not to call it.
Jared, I really don't think the officials know what interference is in this league. They call interference, and sometimes they get it right, and other times it's like, that's blatant interference, and it's just like, nope, carry on.
That's why I'd like to see how bad some of the non-calls were last night.
I mean, Nick Suzuki gets punched right in the face by Braden McNabb, and the official is staring at McNabb punching Suzuki in the face.
It's just hockey.
And there's
He's
no
been told
penalty.
Not to call it.
Yeah, right.
It reminds me of the, how come Ralph Kruger puts Jeff Skinner on the fourth line? The answer is he thinks he's a fourth liner. That's it. Like, it sounds ridiculous. But, yeah, the officials have been told not to call it.
Unless it really impacts a potential scoring chance, right? Like, if
No, not even that. This is part of the parody that the NHL likes.
Yeah.
And the NHL will do anything for parody. And if that means that a game stays close because you don't call a penalty, then they'll do it. If a series stays close, how to keep an unskilled team closer to a skilled team. I'm not saying this is Vegas and Montreal, but the NHL will go to any length to keep things closer than they are for the illusion, not the illusion, to further create parity. That's why they're against the 3-2-1 point system, which simply rewards points based on how good you did. They don't want that. They want, you know. So, yeah, I just think they don't want to call the penalties.
But that's why, if you're Montreal, yeah, right, you would. If we look at it and go, you're not as skilled as Vegas, so Montreal, I would assume, would want every possible penalty called. At the very least, you keep Vegas off of 5-on-5, where they should probably have the advantage over you, and you try and get on the power play a little bit more often. So, anyway.
I mean, it's happened to Edmonton. They lost in the first round because, you know, Winnipeg just chopped Connor McDavid's arms all day.
Right.
No penalties. Like, how come he didn't score more in the series? Well, in the postseason, we don't call penalties.
Yeah. Hey, before we get to break, you want to get up? Or I guess we could do it after break. It really doesn't matter. But you've got your 100 holes of golf coming up on Thursday.
I do. Thursday, 100 holes. Another 100 holes of golf. Yeah, I'm ready for that. We out there
hydrate this week, dude.
Real early. Yeah, yeah. See how far we're going to walk.
I didn't even look at the weather. And by the way, I got to tell you, we could have some crazy weather today. You want to do your... real quick, strong to severe thunderstorms are likely this afternoon. We could have damaging wind gusts up to 60 miles an hour and maybe hail.
Quick. What's the weather look like for Thursday right now?
That's what I was just pulling up on my phone with my handy dandy app. Thursday, 82 for the high, 65 for the low, only a 10% chance of rain, partly cloudy, 82.
All right, going to play a lot of golf. I know what you're thinking. Don't you already play a lot of golf?
You played yesterday. You do play a lot of golf.
I did play yesterday, and my wife and I had a quick conversation about it. What was it? She said...
You play too much golf?
well, I said, I didn't really play all that well. And she's like, well, maybe it's, you know, maybe you need a little bit of a break. You've been playing a lot of golf. And I said, no, I think I played poorly because I did take a little bit of a break, and I should be playing some more golf.
That's what you were hoping for. You're hoping she said, you know what? I think your problem is you're going to need to work on your game a little bit more.
I did feel, you know, my first Father's Day, I did feel we got out on the course at 8 o'clock. If they were, like I mentioned, there was a shotgun start at 8. If it were up to me, I would have been out there maybe at 6 because I did feel a little bit of, it's noon, it's Father's Day, I should be home. I should be home with the kid. You know, golf takes a lot of time. And I do love to golf, but I love to golf quickly. So if I enter, you know, more opportunities to play, but we're looking at, you know, 5-6 hour rounds, I'm probably going to get away from the game like I did 20 years ago. I stopped playing because it got too crowded and I didn't want to play these long rounds. That said, I'll be playing for about 13 hours on Thursday. So,
you know, I good news is I don't think, 2021, excuse me, I don't think Dylan and Knox at some point we'll go, Dad, yeah, we remember when you ruined 2021 Father's Day and you're out on the course first thing in the morning. They probably, I'm going to guess they won't remember that, so it's not a big deal.
I did, by the way, I did record the F1 race with the plan to come home.
Oh, I recorded it too, yeah.
Yeah, to come home and watch it. I did find out how things went and then came home and kind of watched it.
Did you?
Like you watch a hockey game, you know the outcome of fast forward every 10 laps and all that.
Did you do that?
So, yes.
See, it's funny, I have never done that yet. I recorded it. I did. I knew I wouldn't have time to watch it. And I actually looked at the old F1 tweeted out like a 3-minute recap of the race, basically. So I saw the ending or the second to last lap when Verstappen passed Hamilton. And then I was thinking, okay, should I watch this back? And actually the question I had was, how do you fast forward through an F1 race? Like
answer,
in hockey, there are stoppages.
I know exactly how. I mean, you watch the interval on the left. When Verstappen was back 6 seconds, it goes, four, three. We're down to two. Hey, we're in DRS zone. Now I'll watch.
So,
that's it.
Or passing. But there's key passes or something.
You can't see that on fast forward, but you can see the intervals, and you can see when guys swap spots.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Would I just go right to the last, like, 10 minutes of the race, 20 minutes of the race? Just watch
I went to the times that they pitted and when they started talking strategy, and then – it was exactly the flip of that race. I didn't remember which one. It's Barcelona, where Hamilton pitted twice, and Verstappen tried to stay out the whole time, and
he
hunted him down, and there was never a doubt.
Yeah,
and that's basically what happened in this race too. Bottas could not hold Verstappen long enough.
Yeah, I saw his. I heard his clip, his obscenity-laced clip about. Apparently, he wanted a second stop, and they're like, nah,
and they're
"Don't
like,
worry,
no,
don't
stay
worry
out
about
there.
It. One stop race. Oops."
Yeah.
Not so good. All right, we'll wrap the show up in a moment. Instigators, of course, coming up with some quality hockey conversations at the top of the hour on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Let me quickly apologize for being an idiot. That covers a lot of area. But I asked you to talk about your golf and actually didn't give you a chance to mention the link and how people can donate to help on Thursday.
Well,
are you still looking
I'll keep tweeting out the links.
Okay,
yeah, I mean,
good.
You'll hear from me a lot in the next couple of days.
Very
and, of
good.
Course, all day on Thursday. So, yeah, we'll figure it out.
All right.
100 holes of golf to benefit Live Like Luca, the Luca Kalani Foundation. At Live Like Luca on Twitter and Courage of Carly Fund as well will be out there on Thursday. You tell me the weather looks good.
Mm-hmm.
It means it looks like we're getting in 100 holes. Last year, monsooned out after 72.
Last year, you saw Noah's Ark, I believe, at some
it
point
was unbelievable.
During the day. Yeah,
you could have put a slip and slide at Wanaka Country Club and slid into the lake.
That would have been awesome.
Down the mountainside, basically.
Oh,
yeah, crazy last year. So we're going to do it this year. 100 holes, bunch of folks out there, men, women. Children of all ages.
Twin babies, you know.
2-minute warning.
They might make an appearance. We'll see. We'll see. It'll be a good time out there and all to raise money for a great cause. We've raised a lot so far. Actually, let me tell you how much the team has raised so far because our goal is, let's see, donate now. Wait, all right. We have raised $72,000 so far.
Wow, that's awesome.
And the goal is $100,000. For these two charities.
Okay.
So we're up to 72,000. We're going to talk with a couple people later this week to talk about
More
about what these two organizations do. The Luca Kalani Foundation's only been around for about, you know, a year and a half and gives money back to the community. You'll hear about, you know, sports projects around the area that your money goes to help for kids to get involved with sports. So, yeah, wait till Thursday, mm-hmm. and then we'll just hammer that donate button, and we'll get to 100,000 as a team. My goal is 5,000, so we'll see.
Maybe you'll get your hole-in-one Thursday.
Maybe.
Is there a hole-in-one, holeable hole-in-one?
Last play in
every
the show.
Par three the is holeable.
There you go. So maybe it'll happen
Ubble,
Thursday.
Kind of, you know.
Holeable. Holeable hole-in-one?
I'm due. I'm telling you, I've been really close this month. I've had three or four really close. I'm due.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Thanks.
All right. We got like 40 seconds. Is there anything else you wanted to get in? Oh,
what else is
by the way,
on?
Major League Baseball, the foreign substance checks, they start today.
Great.
So, yeah, look for that. That'll be
How's
fun.
DeGrom? What's the latest?
He's scheduled to start today in game one of their doubleheader against the Braves, so I haven't heard anything different. 5'10", SNY. Watch Jake DeGrom pitch and then hope he doesn't come up with a shoulder, arm, elbow, right hip, right side. His whole right side has been a train wreck this season. But hopefully he's okay. All right, instigators are on the way in a moment. Have yourselves a marvelous Monday. Heads up on potentially crazy weather this afternoon, and we'll be back tomorrow morning at 6. We'll be right back.